SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Pimlico Racecourse, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and our website too, stevebick.com. The rain continues, but we've got a ray of sunshine and this is a rare treat. Usually at Saratoga, we can sit down with Leon Blushewicz live, but he's back to the hometown. Like a swallow to Capistrano, and lighting up everybody's face wherever he goes. Blue, I've been trying to reach you. People are asking, when's Blue coming? Where is he? What's going on? I thought maybe you were on another international gallivant, but here you are live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Blue.
Well, I'm going to Europe again to see the Yark. I got the tickets already at Longchamps.
Well, did you go to Chantilly?
Yeah, it was Chantilly the last 2 years. Yeah, I went on the Queen Mary, too. And then I went from New York to Southampton, then to London, then I went to Newmarket. I seen a Noble train over there. I went to Judmont. Simon took me all around. Nice. It was really, really nice. I've been to Newmarket before. I haven't been there since 90 and 91 for the sales, but I enjoyed it immensely. But I can't wait to go to see the Yark again.
When's the last time you've been down here?
Oh, a few years. I haven't been to the Preakness for quite a few years. Because, at this time, I'm usually at...
Saratoga training.
At Saratoga training. So now I'm out of business, thanks to Donald Trump. Put me out of business with ICE.
Stop.
but things have to end sometime.
Well, you did lose a groom. You're not out of business though, because you got plenty going on.
Well, and yes,
plenty keeping you. Look, your phone's ringing. They're all over you. But Blue's going to see about the phone call.
No, I'm just going to put it right
now. All right, he's going to put it out. Let me quickly tell everybody about the draw yesterday, and we're going to have what will be a rollicking conversation with Leon Blushewicz. The draw actually yesterday, fascinatingly, here's Justify pulling the 7 pill, the same slot that he started in the Derby. Quip got the rail, and the other Windstar China Horse Club runner, and Lone Sailor the 2, Sporting Chance for Lucas the 3, Diamond King the 4, Good Magic the 5, Tenfold the 6, Justify the 7, and Bravazo the 8. A field of 8 for this running of the Preakness, and there's some interesting things to talk about here as the day develops and as we handicap into the weekend. Obviously, the bad weather continues, and I mean, when I say bad, about every 30 minutes this morning, I've been up since 4, and about every 30 minutes, the sky has opened and just inundated the area. The good news is the grass course is cut very long. Yesterday, we went into the infield for the draw into the Stronach Chalet, and very much like the Sound of Music, like the Von Trapps over there, and the grass course is really thick and firm. I mean, I think it's going to take plenty of water and be okay.
I agree with you.
And in fact, George Ann Hale and the Track Super said that right now they. I mean, last year it was soft, so it's not going to be any softer than last year. And there's quite a few horses, notably World Approval and Cambodia from Tom Proctor. Proctor won this last year, won the Gallarette. I've asked you this before. You must have seen Gallarette run.
Yes, yes.
One of my absolute favorites.
Years ago.
Well, there's plenty of speed in here. There's a lot of horses that not necessarily breakaway speed and runoff speed, but there are horses that want to be involved. And, of course, that includes Quip and Diamond King. You know that, obviously, Good Magic wants to at least get out of the gate clean. Tenfold is a stalker type. And Justify, of course, you got to think that if Quip is going to set the pace, that Justify can set up shop and pretty much have the same kind of approach as he did in the Derby with promises fulfilled. We'll see about that. Diamond King also may pounce on Quip, and they may go out, and maybe Smith sits third. We think back to American Pharoah when he drew the rail. The hand was forced, or as Baffert told us later, they were always going to the lead, and he controlled throughout that day. And, of course, the rain had come in droves. We don't know Saturday exactly how much bad weather we're going to get tomorrow. Black Eyed Susan Pimlico special day does not look too promising either. So we'll be on top of all this. We're going to see Zoe Cadman and Rich Migliori here later. It's Alibi Breakfast Day, one of the great traditions in racing that started over by the racing office and guys coming up with excuses as to why they didn't win the Derby. And it's evolved into one of the great traditions. You've been to plenty of Alibi breakfasts.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great affair.
When you started, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to spend this time with Blue. I've asked you before, and we've never really pursued it, but since you're right here on the grounds, where exactly did you grow up, and when exactly did you start to get on the circuit and get involved in Maryland?
Well, I was growing up in East Baltimore, right near the waterfront, And my father, first time I come to the track was the Pimlico. It was for the Pimlico special. I was either seven or eight years old. And I seen Seabiscuit and War Admiral. And my father was a War Admiral fan. And I was rooting for Seabiscuit. I don't know why. But I remember sitting on the on his convertible my father had. He had a 1927 Essex or something like that, had a rumble seat. And I watched them, and it was a big crowd. It had a lot of people in the infield that day. And it was in November, in the fall of the year. I can't remember the day.
1938.
Yeah, that's right. And well, that was the first time. Then my father used to take me to Bel Air, to Monium, Hagerstown, and it was in my blood, and and so I told my father, one day I'll be training horses. Shut up. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. You got to be wealthy to have trained horses. You know what you're talking about. So
what did your dad do? What was your dad's business?
He was a tailor.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was a tailor. He worked for Bond Clothing.
Oh, sure.
Bond Clothing. They made suits. I mean, Babe Ruth used to come there and buy suits from Bond Clothing. I mean, because they had two pair of pants when you bought Bond Clothes, you got two pair of pants.
You'd get the two pair of pants, four piece, two pants, a vest, and a jacket.
Yeah. So that's what he. But anyway, we went every year. We'd come to Pimlico. He loved the races. He wasn't a big bettor, but he just loved the races. You know, and he used to tell me when I started, he says, "You can't beat these Bond boys." It was Bernie Bond and Boaz Bond. He said, "Them guys are crackerjacks. You know nothing about the horses."
Who gave you a job?
I just came
break
on
in?
A racetrack. I just came on a racetrack walking hot. So I was working for Bonsall, and I learned from this guy, Roger Gill, that was my mentor. And he worked for Louis Fustel for 10 years.
Wow.
So I had, I got a good background. So anyway, we're at Delaware, and I'm with Roger, and he's got the string for Bonsall there. So anyway, we got this horse. And we're hiding this horse because Roger used to get on some of the horse. We're hiding this horse. So anyway, we got to go to this guy to tout him. We got to get in the car. So we drive from Delaware down to Baltimore. I mean, we got enough money just to pay the tolls and gas. So we lay this guy on the horse. So anyway, I had to stop home. I had to get dressed up because we're going to this restaurant. So my wife then, my first wife, said to Roger, said, so I was taking a shower. So she asked him, said, "Will he do any good?" He said, "He's a cinch, but he needs to have some patience because he's always in a hurry. Where's he get all this energy?" And that was started. I mean, the horse win, we got started. And before you know it, I got started, and I bought a package off of Dr. This guy in Bel Air. He was in partnership with Tommy Kelly.
I was going to ask you about T.J. Kelly.
Yeah, Tommy Kelly. I bought
because he grew up right here. Yeah. He grew up a block or two away.
Yeah. So anyway, I bought a package from Dr. I forget the doctor's name, but he was a vet out in out in Bel Air. So I bought this mare, Poco Burger, and I bought this horse, Don't Knock, I mean, what was the name? I think Mr. Groovy. That was my first win. So the horse had railroad tracks. He bucked shins, and I got him back. And, you know, with Roger helping me out and teaching me, the first time I run him, we bet on him, he win. And then I bred Poco Burger. I bred her to What Luck. I sent her to Edmond, Oklahoma. I sent 8 mares to Edmond, Oklahoma. I got 4 stakes winners, 4 announcements. I got Ambassador Luck. I bred Ambassador Luck. Edmond, Oklahoma, they all called me I was crazy.
How did you even – how old were you at this point?
Oh, I was in the 30s or something like that, 30s or 40s, I guess. I can't remember. It's been so long ago.
So it's the 50s. It's the late 50s.
No. It's later than that. It's in the 70s. In the 70s.
So you're older
than
luck,
yeah. Well, you know, what
when luck. You started breeding, you mean?
Yeah. I started – well, I mean, that was the package. So how I got to know about What Luck, I run a horse. His name was Tiger Lord. So I had him. I run him in the Jim Dandy. This was in 73 or 74. I forget what year it's been going on. So now, I mean, they got storms at Saratoga. It's raining cats and dogs. So at the 3 8 poles, all washed out, the track was closed. So I would gallop and jog and come to the 3 8 pole and pull up. So anyway, I run the horse. He was in front all the way. I think he finished 4th that day, Tiger Lord. So I go over to the receiving barn over there, and there's Oliver Cutshaw. He's there with Bieza. So I asked him, about, Bull Ruler. You know, I said, what's the best horse Bull Ruler ever thrown? And I said, Reviewer. He said, no, a horse called What Luck. He could beat Reviewer doing anything. So when I heard that, I sent my mare and 4 other mares out there, and that's how come I got all these nice horses, by What Luck.
Tony Black, who's going to be with us in a little bit, you've got to know,
sure,
Tony for years.
He wrote for me, yeah.
He wrote Ambassador a lot. Yeah. Said he won a stake at Keystone on him.
Yeah, I sold her. Yeah, we sold her. I sold her as a yearling. I sold her to yearling. I sold her to funny. Mr. Fuller. I sold her to – I mean, Fuller bought the mare. She was in foal. Detente was in foal, and he sold her – you know, I forget who he sold her to. He sold her to Peskoff and another guy.
Peskoff.
Not Peskoff. No.
Wow.
No, somebody else had her first. Who had her first? Somebody else had her first, because I was supposed to have half of that mare at that time.
Now, I'm putting up this picture, and I knew, and I get to sit here in this room and do the show each year from the files of Jerry Fruitcoff, and I knew there were pictures of you as a young trainer, and I'm putting this up right now. People are going to absolutely get the biggest kick out of it. Who's this filly in here in this picture with the bugle?
Bluer than blue.
Bluer than blue.
Bluer than blue. But I trained a filly for him called No More Blues for Doc Severson. That's his trumpet. He gave me a trumpet. Doc Severson gave me that trumpet right there.
Unbelievable.
Doc Severson. Yeah, I had one horse for him, and I run the horse at Hialeah, and I was hiding the horse. So that was the first year they had to pick 6. So after the race, what's his name, the writer, does the numbers.
Which one? Andy
Byer.
Oh, okay.
Andy Byer.
Those numbers.
Andy Byer said, well, I told you, I showed you when the horse worked one morning. I worked her one morning. She worked 58 and change. And the clocker was putting 52 every 4 days.
We can't do that anymore, Blue. You know, they blew the whistle on that. Speaking of Blue.
Well, that's why the game's going back. Nobody wants to win a bet anymore.
I've asked you that, actually. I mean, and Tony and I have had, a lot of people, we've had this discussion about, part of the game's charm is
right,
some of that.
Right.
When you put money involved, there's going to be some hijinks.
Well, listen, the game is a funny thing. When I went on this trip to Europe, I was on the Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mary too. So I met some people there. I had to sit with them every day. They were from Cambridge. Right outside of Newmarket.
Sure.
And I told them about the horse, and the first thing they would love to hear about, how much money did you win betting? They would all love to bet. I mean, the game without betting wouldn't be a game.
Exactly, exactly.
Wouldn't that be a game?
It would just be horses running around.
That's, well, you wouldn't even come. You wouldn't even come.
Too funny. You mentioned training for Doc Severinsen. Tomorrow night, people have been screaming. Luckily, I've got the crab cake recipe written down, you know, from the years of delivering it. But we'll be at Prime Rib tomorrow night with Tina and your man, Buzz Baylor, and everybody, whenever his name comes up, Siaka, Gary has trained a few horses years for Buzz.
Oh yeah, I got him that job.
And he loves, everybody talks about it, but you've got the greatest association, and of course you picked Orbed out for him, and he's been knocking on the door, and he's going to break through. But you got a 2-year-old that is up and coming.
Well, he's a nice horse, man. Kip Belcher's got him down in Camden, and his name is Zorbed, Zorbed.
I like that.
His name is Zorb.
Well, I've got a song, Zorbing, that we play. That's great. We'll play that.
And after the Belmont, he's going to Baffert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's going to Baffert. He's going to go to California. Because the guy wants to go with the man that win the Derby. So this guy's win 5 Derbies. Who else would you want to send him to?
Absolutely. In fact, last year when we were having this conversation exactly a year ago, we were doing it on the phone, and you were training up at the Oklahoma at Saratoga. But we talked. It felt last year. Always dreaming coming out of the Derby. A lot of people concerned about these wet tracks and how wet track Derby winners the last few years have struggled, whether it's Always Dreaming and Super Saver for Todd. Mind That Bird was a victim of Rachel Alexandra. Orbed himself.
Never won another race.
Well, but when I looked at the pace that was set in Oxbow's Preakness win,
yes,
there was no way Orb was winning that race or going to contend under that circumstance. Right. It was going to be very hard for him with a 113 for 6 furlongs. There was no way Orb was getting involved.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, justify Wheelback successfully.
Oh yeah, he's a prohibitive favorite.
Yeah, 1-2. Listen, by the way,
he might be the shortest. He might be the shortest favorite since Affirmed in Aladar. The exact day that they paid $440. I made a $200 exactly because I was good friends with Laz, and Laz said he can't beat me.
He was that kind. He was that confident.
Laz loved the horse. In fact, I had a horse, my first wife, who I was talking about, had a horse called Isella. So I sent him out to Laz for the winter time because the tracks were bad here, and in those days in the 70s. So I sent them to Laz Barrera out in California. So Laz says, Leon, he says, I'm going to breeze this horse with Affirm tomorrow. I said, Laz, it's your horse, do what you mean. He says, I want to teach Affirm to rate. So I'm putting Pin K on Affirm, and I'm putting Stevie Coth on your horse, and I'm going to give him a couple lengths. So anyway, the clocker calls me. He says, Blue, he says, what kind of horse you send this man out there? He said, they worked 57, and Affirm never went by him. I said, I sent him a horse called Isel. It's a real nice horse, So anyway, Laz called me, Leon, what kind of you send me a freak? This horse is a freak. I mean, so anyway, the horse is getting ready to run. So I says, Lazaro, I'm going to send you some money. I had $3,300 in the bank. I said, I'm sending you $3,300. He says, don't send me no money. I'll put the money up for you. I said, well, Laz, call me right after the race because we didn't have no world.
You couldn't watch anything. How did you know?
He said, I'm going to put the phone in the storage right on top. You'll hear it. The horse win paid 7 and change.
Nice.
I went out there and picked my money up. Went out there and seen the horse. He turned out to be a nice horse. He won he won the Hoover. He won a lot of nice races. He was a very good horse.
I sell it.
I named him after a big bookmaker in Baltimore. The guy was a spitting image of Clark Gable. Al Isella.
That's great.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was some horse. Some horse he was. So, I had my thrills too.
Please, you're still having them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
But, you know, I've got a little beef about Churchill. Churchill should get a 20-horse gate. Now, you
you're,
know, listen,
you're about the fifth person to say this.
I can't see. They're living in a deep freeze. They ought to get out of a deep freeze. They're charging $130,000 for suites, and they can't have a gate with, I mean, over in Europe, they got a gate holds 30 horses with no interruptions. Every year, the 14 horse and the 13 horse take the 14, the 15. Run up. I mean, we might have had one of the races of the century if that horse don't get bumped coming. He got eliminated. Yeah. Got eliminated.
Mendelsohn.
Yeah. I mean, had the Classic Empire. I mean, it happens every year. If you watch all the reruns of the gate, they come over, they all come downhill to go to the rail.
Well, in that space, we discussed this with Donna Brothers after the draw. And, you know, horses, there's two things that you see when that gate opens. You got horses, the 14 and the 15, they go for the open space, and the 20 horse goes to the right. Horses run to open space.
Well, what the horses do, they're learned to drive to the rail, to run to the rail. They all trying to get over to the rail, don't get hung up wide. And what happens, I mean, happened to Classic Empire, and happened to a lot of horses, happens that. So they should change that.
The Matisse brothers, who you know well, Paul and Duke, both of Duke, this is a pet thing of Duke's for years. He was maybe the first person I ever heard bring it up and say, this is ridiculous. Even if you're just going to use it once a year,
They're making enough money. Their stock went from 45 to 200. They're making all the money in the world. Why wouldn't they have a gate? This is the best race in the world. Everybody, I mean, you only get a chance to run one time in the Derby.
Yep.
It ain't no two times or three times.
Yep. No. Yeah, listen, you're this chorus, there was a bigger outcry about it this year than in recent memory.
2 years in a row. Yep. 2 years in a row.
Prominent horse.
Prominent horses got eliminated. Now, that's not right. That's not racing. That's not doing your job.
Now, there's also a movement afoot that I've gotten wind of that, you know, in terms of getting the purse raised, too. I mean,
absolutely.
That it by
all the
rights.
Horsemen put up $1 million.
Which,
I mean, it's 20 starters, $50,000 apiece cost you. That's $1 million right there.
Yeah.
And they only, I mean, that race should be at least $6-7 million.
The number that I heard was five as a target, and this is not coming from the outer provinces. It's coming right from the breeding community actually,
sure.
And from Lexington.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot about this.
Absolutely.
No, you bring up a great point about the gate too, and they're about $1 million to build a 20-horse gate would probably be a million and a half.
It wouldn't even cost you that.
You think they'd convert? Just they'd
sure.
Take the two pieces,
yeah,
cut it out,
sure, put it
like
together.
A limousine, like a stretch limo.
Exactly, exactly. You got some right ideas.
Well, let's get the crab cake recipe for those.
Right.
We got new listeners every year, and they may be hearing you for the first time. And I've got it written down. So if you're in the car driving, please don't drive off the road trying to get the recipe, because I'll put it on Twitter. I'll put it on Facebook again, as I do every year. But it's the Leon Blushewitz Best You Ever Ate crab cake recipe.
All right, now you got to start off with Maryland lump crab meat, which, by the way, is hard to get.
It's getting harder and harder.
No, you know why? Because Trump run all the people, all the Mexican people out to pick it, and they're having a tough time down in Eastern Shore. I mean, crab meat went from $37 a pound lump to $44. It's hard to get. But this is what you have to start off with: 1 pound of Maryland lump crab meat. You take it, put it in a bowl. Then you get a Keebler crackers.
Club.
One pack. You take all of them except four. Leave the four on the side. You crush them up with your hands. And then you take some McCormick.
Montreal spice.
And you put as much as you want on there. And then you take two helpings of Hellman's mayonnaise.
Not Miracle Whip.
Nope.
No Miracle Whip.
Real mayonnaise, Hellman's. You got to use Hellman's.
Bring out the best, baby.
And then you use Golden's spicy brown mustard. You take a good tablespoon for that, and then you take one egg and you beat the egg up, and then you put the mayonnaise and the mustard in there, and you beat that up, and then you take and you got to fluff it real gently.
Don't break up the lumps. You want
exactly.
to hold the lumps as best you can.
Actually, sometimes you want to make it real big. I mean, you take another pound on the side and put the lumps around it.
Yep.
And build up around it. So then you got to take them and put them in the Frigidaire for at least 2 hours to set
Firm.
Up, and then you can either broil them or you can deep fry them. Now the best taste is when you deep fry them. Deep frying does something for the crab cake. I mean, listen, you know, the first people that owned eating crab cakes were in East Baltimore, the Polish people. No, you never heard of crab cakes.
Until then?
Oh, Brickies. I started at Brickies.
On Pratt Street, 1311 Pratt.
No, it was on Lumber Street first.
Oh, was it really?
I didn't know. Lumber Street, the first one they had on Lumber Street. Years ago, you know, he was a bookmaker.
Oh, Brickie was?
Oh, Brickie was a bookmaker. So anyway, we'd go in there and bet the horses every Friday and Saturday. So now he knocked everybody up. Knocked everybody out. We're all broke. So this guy's coming down the alley. And he's hollering. You know, he's hawking crabs. You know, Wye River crabs. Now, this is like early 50s. Wye River crabs. So he said, I'm going to get a bushel of crabs and steam them up for you guys. So he steamed them up with rock salt and pepper. Well, we ate those. You know, I mean, when you're broke, you really get hungry. So we ate the crabs. So after that, he started having them, and he built the business up. Then he made the crab cakes, and then we went there a couple times a week. Then everybody went there. I mean, in fact, Laz, he used to call me and say, "Bring me 2 dozen of those crab cakes." I said, "Laz, you know," he says, "Yeah, 2 dozen." Well, he would eat them like they're popcorn.
Yeah, that's right. You told me that about shipping them out there.
No, I wrote them out. No, I mean, when he was in New York.
When he came down into the,
when he come to New York. Because, I mean, in wintertime, he would go to California, see? Yeah.
You know, for those, let me run it down for everybody again. 1 pound premium jumbo lump Maryland crab meat. Do not compromise. Don't get a can of
no,
you know,
no
snow
way.
Chief, snow crop, canned crab meat. You want, you know, there's nothing.
You want the real McCoy.
The real McCoy. And, you know, those cans in the refrigerated and seafood sections in the grocery store, you'll see premium lump in the cans. And that is okay. I'm talking about over by the tuna fish. Stay away. That's not what you want. You want the premium jumbo lump. 1 tablespoon of Gouldens. 3 tablespoons of Hellman's mayonnaise, 1 egg beaten, Montreal steak spice, as you like, and you know, people are offended that you're not putting in Old Bay, but
Old Bay kills the crab meat.
I agree.
It.
And then what? Now this is the best part of this recipe is always the Keebler Clubhouse crackers. And the first time you gave this recipe out years ago, and you said take out a sleeve and take 4 crackers out, not 3, not 5.
Well,
take 4 crackers out. And bust them up by hand, and then you're gonna very gently mix this up so you don't break up the
big
jumbo lumps. You know, we've been having a few. There's been a few interesting developments on the food front, the Italian. I never ask you about the Italian, the Little Italy. Section and any association, Sabatino's and those joints.
I've been Sabatino's. That's where Al Isella was the doorman at Sabatino's. He was the bookmaker. He booked numbers, horses, and football, everything. He looked like Clark Gable, the guy.
It's pretty funny.
Baseball, anything you could play with him.
They got a nice the Little Italy down, you know, downtown, just off of downtown, and you know, the town. I'll ask you, Blue. I mean, and you've been gone from here a long time. It's not
right.
as if you're, you know, you're still here. But the future in this town is up in the air. I mean, there's large tracts of and sections that, you know, that there's no
I heard
desperate.
I was listening to your show the other day. They had the lawyer on.
Alan Foreman.
With Alan, yes. Well, that's in this area here.
Yeah.
This area has been bad the last 30 years. But where they made the mistake at, years ago, I forget who was the governor, but they had What was the guy that owned the track before Stronach had it?
The Cohens.
No. But after the Cohens.
Joe DeFrancis.
DeFrancis. All right. Well, they went to Joe and they said to him, well, I mean, the governor at that time said, we'll lend you $150 million to build Pimlico up. He said, no, I'll do it with my own money. And they never did build Pimlico up.
They had the chance then to redevelop
chance.
Right
this
then.
This is years ago. This is 20 years ago.
At more, least. I they think. Could,
yeah, yeah, well, 20, I would say 20. Maybe it could be more. But I'll tell you something. This is only my opinion, which don't mean nothing. The Preakness has got to be held at Pimlico. It'll never go over at Laurel. Never. I've been to Laurel.
They've done a nice job. I mean, they've
all right. And listen, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. These people are still living in a deep freeze. I mean, you got to do the right. If you want to go to these tracks, you have to put on good food. You can't go to these tracks and they serve you garbage. It's garbage. Listen, when they had what was the guys that used to run the the food consignment. They were all over the country to the tracks.
Well, Harry M. Stevens is what you're thinking of.
When you come Harry M. Stevens, people would come here for lunch.
Yeah.
They had the greatest beef stew in the world. The greatest beef stew.
And the chowder, the Manhattan chowder.
Everything, yeah. Everything. Pasta, everything. It was delicious.
Well, they popularized, you know, it's funny, the corned beef sandwiches that came out of Harry M. Stevens and went nationwide at all the outlets.
It was great.
They're still eating it at Oaklawn. They're still the corned beef.
Well, listen, I was listening to your show. You got me hungry. You're talking about these beef sandwiches. I would love to try one of them.
The pit? You mean the local? The
no, the one in Louisville.
Oh, at Billy's place.
Yeah,
at Top Round. Yeah,
yeah.
Tremendous.
Be good. Yeah,
tremendous.
Because I used to get those Top Round sandwiches at San Anita years ago.
They still got the hot deli bar. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, you're going to have to go out now. You're going to have to go out when that horse is ready to run. You're going to have to go out to Santa Anita or Del Mar for Baffert.
Are you kidding? I'll be out there in the New York Minute.
Unbelievable. Now, you'll be back home. You're still living up by us,
no,
right?
I live what you call, no, I just go up there for the summer. See, I'll be at Saratoga this year from June till September till Labor Day.
Excellent.
Then I'm coming home. Then I'm going to Switzerland, Austria, Germany, and then I'm going to the Ark. 18-day vacation.
If it's Tuesday.
I got to find a nice horse. I mean, Witchcomb's got he's got a horse for the Ark this year again. Gosden Cracksman.
Yeah.
That's a nice horse. First time out, he went at Longchamps.
Well, it'd be fun. I mean, to go back, you'll be a... somebody, you know, one of the few, I suppose, Americans that have saw the Ark over Chantilly during these renovation years.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
And now back to Longchamp.
I love Longchamp. Well, I was there last year, but, I mean, they were fixing it, so I took a lot of pictures of the place and everything. And I stood at the head of the lane. I wanted to walk right out to the rail and the old windmill around there and took some pictures of that.
That's very good. The pictures are amazing.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
Yeah, it was neat. Yeah.
Too funny. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, Blue, some final thoughts about the being here and Preakness and life around the game.
Well, it's a funny thing. I'll tell you a little story about Scat Daddy. I looked at him as a yearling. I loved him. I went to Mr. Belair. I went to two or three people. I said, let's buy this horse. I went to Nick Zito. So Nick Zito, he said, you know, he said, they're turf horses. So he sent me down to Buck Ram Oaks. You remember Buck Ram Oaks?
Sure, the Fastocks.
Yeah, he sent me down to Fastock. Fastock says to me, show me the horse. I took him and his contingency. He showed him the horse. So anyway, his trainer, who had Silverhawk in Europe, so he looked at the horse. He said, the horse will never, he'll never go a distance of ground. I wouldn't say that. So I was walking away, and Fostock gave this guy, you know, $100 bills and give me $100 bills. That was Scat Daddy. So the first year I bred, what you call him? I bred Spartiatus for $12,500.
Oh, that's 12, right.
Then I bred Azar for $15,000. I loved the horse. You know why I loved him? because he was by Johannesburg, and Johannesburg was by what's Lucas's horse? Lucas's horse. Johannesburg was by Hennessy. I love that line. So I bred my mare to King Mumbo Mare. So I bred to that same line.
To get Azar.
Yeah, I got Azar. See what? Now, why I like the Scat Daddy so much, he was by Johannesburg. He was the best two-year-old Breeders' Cup winner I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Nobody was better than him. Nobody. And he turned out to be the horse he is. That Hennessy blood, that Stormcat right on down.
Yeah.
And you got Scat Daddy. Now, this horse is worth a lot of money. He could be a tremendous sire.
Justified.
Yeah,
justified. He's big. He's got
the thing. And plus the other horse, too, Mendelssohn.
Yeah, now
he's
both got
a tremendous, he's a tremendous bred horse. See, that's why I made a big exacta. Him and Mendelssohn, I thought there'd be a Scat Daddy.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
You could have had a Scat Daddy. You could have had a Scat Daddy superfecta if you put it Flame Away combatant.
The devil grabbed me. Instead of me taking the 15, I took the 19 and I took two. I threw the two in there. I didn't want to use Roman's horse, and I jumped off the 15. And I liked because Jerry Havelberg was in there the year before when I should have hit it.
I used him with the Battle of Midway. Were you in the service? Speaking of which,
no.
How'd you avoid that?
Who knows?
Well, you fell in between the cracks. You were hiding horses, and you were hiding from the draft board.
Well, I could tell you the story of that, but I ain't gonna go by that.
I know it.
I never dodged it, though. I never dodged it.
Flat feet.
Whatever. I'm here.
Unbelievable. Were you hanging out Saturday?
I'm not coming. I'll be watching.
You watch on TV? All right, I hear you. There's plenty of people that love being around during the week.
Well, I used to have two boxes right at the 16th pole. You know the boxes you get out right there? And when they start putting up those tents, I gave them up because you couldn't see.
You couldn't see
you
anything.
You can't see when she's paying all that money and I'm staying home and watching on TV.
You're not wrong. Although, when racing started this week, last week, they've come up with camera angles so people can see.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It'll be visuals for TV, still. Yeah. It'll be a little bit easier. You won't. The horses won't be obscured behind there.
Pimlico was a great place because they had the Pimlico Hotel, which at that time was a good restaurant, and all the trainers went there in the afternoon, got the heist in them.
The clubhouse, the beautiful square clubhouse that burnt down.
Greatest
66.
Greatest steaks you ever could eat.
All the businessmen, all the politicians, they would all come.
That's right.
And dark days or not, they would come and eat in that clubhouse.
Yeah, it was great. Great food.
Fire
great
in food. 66, I think, the fire, right?
It's been so many years.
66 or 67, yeah.
But this place is...
It's an amazing place.
Historic.
Amazing.
Some of the greatest trainers come out of Maryland. The greatest jocks come out of Maryland.
Been a
Kent
long...
Kent DeSarmo, Chris
Antley.
Bruschelli, Chris Antley, Chris McCarron. They all come from out of here. I mean, there's some great horsemen come out of it. I mean, this is the real horse country.
Yeah.
It really is.
Tommy Kelly told us the story, and he said growing up in the neighborhood here and... the fence, and everybody wanted to look over the fence, and he said he had the great line, Tommy. He said, one day I got jumped over the fence and I never got out. I found out that the reason the fence is there is not so to keep people out, it's to keep the horsemen in.
It's a funny thing. I had a picture that Roger gave me. Now Roger Gill was good friends with Tommy Kelly and Eddie Kelly, so he gave me a picture that all three of them were on a pony, sitting on a pony, and they were about 15, 16 years old. I can never find the picture anymore.
Well, a listener has sent a question.
Yes.
I know this will set you off, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Go ahead.
Who was better, Citation or Secretariat?
Citation. It wasn't even close. Akira told me never let him run. Kerry had three different moves. It ain't even close. Citation was a freak. He had three different moves. Just like Kelso, Ocaro said, he never let him run. There were two. He said, but Citation had three different moves. You can move on him two or three times, and he still had that kick. He was a great horse. They had a special bit they made for him, a Citation bit, an overcheck.
For control, to keep him, to give him control.
An overcheck. An overcheck. I mean, many people are scared to use it, but they had to use it on him.
Well, that and we had that conversation. The horse that came up was with the Vijack when Rudy Rodriguez showed up in Kentucky, and he was having trouble with Vijack running off, and he showed up with a Hackamore.
Yeah.
And nobody had seen one before.
Yeah.
For the same thing, for the same control.
Yeah.
Baffert put a heavier bit on this horse that gives Smith some more control.
Yeah, you got to, because they. I'm in it too strong for it.
Exactly.
I mean, Laz Barrera gave me some bits years ago. I love the guy. He gave me two egg bits, and they were like, they must have weighed 100 pounds. You know? But when you put that egg bit on them, that heavy bits, now they make these bits. They're half shallow inside.
Right.
They're light.
Right.
These other bits were real, real heavy. Boy, yeah. In the horse, you take a hole, you grab a hold of it.
To give a chance to work with a horse. You bring up Citation, and which always leads for me to the Calumet lure, and that includes General Duke in 57, who everybody on the farm at the time, and obviously it's 15 years after Citation, but still, they at Calumet insisted that General Duke was going to be the better horse long term.
Right? Well, I'll tell you, Citation was great. But I tell you, the best, I mean, the gamest horse I ever seen, I don't care who it is, a horse called Mongo.
Mongo?
He beat Kelso on the dirt. He beat him on the in the International. He beat Never Ben. He beat Gunbo. He beat Grey Dawn the second. He beat Forego. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. One of the greatest horses that ever lived. If you watch his races, horses go by him. And when the jock, he beat Carrie back too when he was a 3-year-old. I bet a whole car, I sold my car to bet on him. I bet 2,000 on him. I went to Jersey, up to Jersey. What was the name of the race they had for the older horses? He went there and he beat Carrie back. Carrie back went by him and he come again and nailed Carrie back. Then the following year, Carrie back come back and beat him.
Well, Atlantic City, UN.
The United Nations. He won, as a 3-year-old, he won the United Nations, and he won the prep for like 2 or 3 weeks before.
The World's Playground.
Yeah, yeah.
The World's Playground,
well, that's
I think.
2-year-old. No,
that was a 2-year-old?
No, that's a 2-year-old
okay.
race.
Okay, thought that
that's
might have been.
Spectacular Bid Run. Spectacular won that by 14, the World's Playground. But Bonsall had he had like 90 horses.
And that's a lot for back then.
Yeah, well, he had a lot. Well, he had Charlie Purcell training for him, Roger training, and Penny Wilson. So he would have 30 at Delaware, 30 at Atlantic City, and 30 in Maryland. But he had all the people that owned. The people that Shug trains for. What's Phipps? He had Phipps's horses. He had Phipps's horses, and they had the other guy. He had the horses. They had all them good horses.
You know, it occurs to me to ask you one thing. There's a picture I'm going to put up of Leroy Jolly walking to the track with Foolish Pleasure, and we lost Leroy. It's been a tough year. I mean, Lynn Whiting, Jack Van Berg, Leroy Jolly, and you must have spent plenty of time up at Saratoga these last few years with Leroy.
Yeah, I have good friends, but listen, Leroy was one of the greatest. I mean, he was truly a nice person, nice guy, and he was a good trainer.
Misunderstood, I think, is a fair.
No, he was tough. Listen, he was a trainer. He trained them horses. He knew. I mean, he put them on a fence. He didn't win those. He trained those horses. Because I win one of the biggest bets of my life beating him here with Greek Money. Greek Money beat Rydan right here. And then, who's the guy? He'd rather drop you than win a race. Carry and tell me. Yakaza. I mean, Yokozuna claimed foul that day. He claimed foul.
Well, there was. It's funny. It's so funny you say that. In 69, you know, 69, right? Majestic Prince and Arts and Letters.
Yes.
Today is May 17th. It curiously, both Majestic Prince, Arts and Letter,
they finished objection. Yeah.
Yep. And the Codex Genuine Risk Race, they both occurred on May 17th.
Really? That's funny.
The two biggest, yeah. The two most controversial Preakness.
The rider that rode was Hartek. He's the greatest rider of all times.
You feel you?
Oh, it ain't even close. Ain't even close. He win five derbies. He only rode in 13. He was second a couple times.
Yeah. Greek money. You know, it's funny when you go into those sixties era.
Yeah, he got the biggest suspension. You know, he got 6 months. He got 6 months. Of your cash, and then they appealed it, and they fined him either $25,000 or $30,000. He had to pay a fine.
Well, Arcaro, they made Arcaro sit out a year, right?
Yeah, because he tried to. I mean, he tried to drop Nodars. He went to the street and says, "Yeah, I tried to kill the son of a gun." Well, you know, I talked to Cadet. A
little different era.
Now, listen, I live with a Carrot. You know, the Carrot told me. He told me this. So one day, he's trying to patch up the difference between Hartek and Shoemaker because they never talked. So Eddie said, "Listen, he's a nice guy." He says, "Yeah." He said, he gets all the credit, and all the people do is knock me hard tack. He said, "Why don't you make out?" He says, "You know," he says, "Well, Eddie," he says, "you know I'm better than him, and I might even be better than you." Hartek told him.
Hartek was a Hartek.
He rode 4,000 winners quicker than anybody. He was in the Hall of Fame when he was 24. Well, he was truly a great. You know what his biggest thing was? He would never take a sore horse to the post. He scratched 150 times at the gate, and they get another jack, one horse win. You know what he always said behind him? He said, "What about the $2 better?" How did the guy bet his last deuce, and I'm getting on a sore horse, and he's got no chance? That was very commendable.
Well, and then he ended up in the stand, right? He had the long career as a steward.
Well, I'll tell you what stopped him. He gave his money away. He had three or four guys following him all the time.
Yeah.
Three or four guys following him all the time. I mean, they love him. I mean, if you ever read his book, I mean, have you read his book?
No, actually.
I got it in my car. I'll lend it to you or whatever. I mean, it's a great story about him. I mean, he rode winners for me.
How about that?
He's a great rider.
By the way, you go back tonight. You're talking 1962, of course, because Redan and Jaipur later on in the year will hook up at Saratoga with an unbelievable race. And they had already hooked up earlier in the year. But that day, Greek money for Brandywine with Johnny Rotz pays $23.80.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a story. So I'm broke. So I go down to the block. There's a guy named Julius Salisbury. He was the man. He was the big man on the block. He ran all the numbers and everything. He looked like the Lord. They called him the Lord. So I'll go down there. Who's down there is the genius. You remember the guy called the genius? He was down there. We're drinking, and he says, "Well, they can't beat Ride." And I said, "Well, I'm going to ask my man." He said, "Blue, who's going to?" I said, "Julius." I said, "I'm on empty. I need a little." He said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need a couple hundred." He says, "Here, take four." I bet 400 on him. And then he bet him horse for horse. Salisbury bet the genius horse for horse. He's the, what was the guy's name? Carlin K. Stables he had, the genius. Carlin K. Stables, and they bet head, you know, horse for horse. I come out and I bet 400 on on Greek money.
Greek money beats him by a nose, and Jaipur was awful. Jaipur was nowhere to be found that day, and of course later on we get to Saratoga, the scene shifts. Yeah. In fact, there's a terrific. I got a picture. There's a picture of Burt Mulholland and Jaipur with Lou Ponfield.
Well, I got a picture of that race. I mean, where Yokozuna, he
elbow.
Stuck his elbow and his butt right into. I mean, Johnny Rotz's saddle, and he had a nerve. Another. So one day I showed it to Chris McCarron, and he seen it. And he said to Yokozuna, "He said, how'd you do that? How'd you do it?" He said, "I did it every day at Belmont when these riders hooked me."
Speaking of which, I put up a link this morning to bring this full circle to that conversation from yesterday with Alan Foreman. Foreman's, as he said, cut his teeth in the game as the legal counsel to the stewards when it came to Codex and Genuine Risk. Yes. And I put up the link, and there's Jim McKay and Howard Cosell and Eddie Arcaro. Dave Johnson from up here, upstairs, interviewed Fred Caldwell,
yeah,
the steward,
yeah, oh yeah,
about the decision,
Caldwell, yeah,
and he basically he tells Dave Johnson, you know, Angel floated Genuine Risk out. These days we see it every day, this hurting, the hurting, yeah, that goes on, yeah. And that's all it was. And Alan said the other angle from the film patrol shows that they never actually hit.
Well, I was there, and I had the binoculars on. He came. He was in the two path. He came out to the fifth path.
Absolutely.
He definitely should have
come down.
Yeah, definitely should have come down. That horse, there's no way he should have been left up there.
I saw Angel.
He went out of his way. I mean, Angel's going to tell you no. He's going to tell you no. But go ask Jacinto. Now, who was a better rider, Jacinto or Cordero? It's a close call now. That's a close call. It's a matter of opinion.
That's a brutal. Jacinto, that's not a fair question.
Listen. No, I mean, it's opinions. It's like horseshit. We all got one. But listen, Jacinto was a big money rider now. He was a big time rider. Listen, he was a big time rider. Now, you know, when you're good, when you can ride in New York and you go out to the West Coast and you got to ride against Shoemaker and all them guys, Hardtack went out there and he was leading rider out there. I mean, he prevailed. He prevailed. I mean, you read his book, but he was a very competitive guy. He went down on the he wasn't scared of nobody in that jock's room. He went down on the rail all the time. That was his famous move. He always said the races are over at the eighth pole. Instead of him waiting, to the 3-8 pole, he would move at the half mile pole, and have the race won at the eighth pole.
Got to have the horse, though.
Yeah, but he did that a lot of times. He said, of course, once you make that move, you blow by, and them horses are discouraged.
Yep.
See? You got to have the horse. But he was a magnificent rider. I mean, I got his book. I mean, his book is just, it's revealing the things that he done. I mean, they took him, what was the horse that he rode? I mean, Northern Dancer.
Yep.
I mean, they took Shoemaker off and put him on him. And he almost wins the Triple Crown.
We talked about Northern Dancer yesterday from the breeding standpoint, and I watched, as it happens, I watched the Derby, the Preakness, and that 64 Belmont. And the thing that's amazing is how Quadrangle is twice the size of Northern Dancer and of Roman Brother.
Yeah.
The Roman Brother and Northern Dancer, when Quadrangle goes by them, he looks literally twice the size.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But Northern Dancer, I mean, I was around here when he went and everything, but I watched him out in Eastern Shore when he used to, you know, cover those mares. They had to build him a platform to get on the mares. Seriously.
I believe it.
He had to get on a platform. Had a platform. He had to get on, to get on these mares to service them. But that's what everybody, we all go, listen, we all like big things. So horsemen are, we
attracted
all like
to
the big horse.
Yep.
But how many good little horses? Galileo, Sadler's Wells, Frankel.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen the
size.
Horse.
Yep.
He's the best looking confirmation horse I've ever seen in my life.
Is that right?
Frankel. If you see me, he's breathtaking. You could see why he was such a great horse. Yeah. When you get next to him, oh, what a horse. I mean, you could see that.
obviously, we could go 3 hours.
Well, whatever. But there's a, there's a few stories I could tell you about this place, but we all get
we're
going to
say with that. Leon Blushewicz, as always, a particular thrill to have this conversation. We have conversations in Maryland comes up when we're at Saratoga together, but to have it here in this building, and we don't know how long this building is going to stay intact, but a particular pleasure to spend this time.
Well, I could say one more thing. You know, I had a filly called Snowplow. She went to Salima and won the Demoiselle. They were grade ones.
Yeah.
It's only two horses in the history to win the races. Look it up. Bed of Roses, who belonged to Vanderbilt.
Sure.
And my filly, and I didn't get the Breeders' Award that year. They gave it to, you know, Before Dawn. Never went around two turns, and I went around two turns twice. They didn't give it to me.
Well, the Salima and the Futurity, of course, were the two big two-year-old races.
Well, I won both those races. I won both of them. But that Snowplow, she was a freak. But from two to three, she didn't develop. She went straight.
That
she
happens.
Didn't put the muscle on.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the match series starts tomorrow, and we had the fun conversation with Alan.
It's very exciting.
Ski Pat kicks it off tomorrow.
Ski Pat.
And
well,
who
you
train.
It's a funny thing. We bought her. She was in foal. She was in foal to a pretty nice horse.
The Dam?
Yeah. No, Ski Pat herself. So she was in foal to Policeman. So now they call up in Kentucky, said she's not in foal. I says the and I was talking to Buzz Belair. I said, bring her back. And Hardell called me, says, you can't bring her back. She foundered. I mean, she foundered after the first Barbara Fritchie. I said, bring her back. So I brought her back, and I brought a blacksmith over, Johnny Meehan. He used to sue Kelso. He said, I'll fix this filly up for you, but you got to hire my son. He's been by my side. And I said, I'll do it. Well, rest is history. I won a whole bunch of Ski Pat. I won the Barbara Fritchie. I was invited to the Santa Margarita out in California when it was invitational only.
Sure.
So I was out there, and I had Dave McCarg. I said, put this filly on the lead. You know, I just got done winning a stake race in New York. I forget the name, but it was a pretty nice stake, you know. So I got her out there, and he takes all her Charlie Winningham's in front. But anyway, I finished fourth. She come back. She was squealing. I said, I'm going to run her back in the Barbara Fritchie. So I bring her back from California, take her right to Bowie. So I get this guy, a friend of mine, to get on her because she was tough to gallop. You had to gallop her in the dark or you couldn't hold her. Or you'd have to have a pony. I took the pony away from her.
She would see something and she would go after
it? She would just, I mean, during the day, if you grabbed her like it, try to grab her back, you couldn't hold her. If you reach for her, she'd run off. She was 17 hands, big filly. So anyway, so now I got her. I said, well, listen, I'm just going to jog her and we'll work her. So she's jogging the wrong way at Bowie. So at Bowie, they got the starting gate at the quarter pole. So Lionel's got it at the quarter pole. The starting gate's there. So he's going up. He can't hold her. She runs right through the starting gate. He says, you got to get me a pony. So anyway, I told Bud, I said, you could bet all you want. They will beat this filly.
And she won the Fritchie.
Yeah, she won the Barbara Fritchie. She beat It's in the Air.
Oh, yeah.
She beat It's in the Air. She beat another two horses that Henry Clark had a good fill in there, and Dutro had a fill in there. And she just got them with Cass S. Musen. Cass S. Musen.
Unbelievable.
Super, super nice filly. Nice filly.
Well, the Ski Pat kicks off the stakes weekend tomorrow. It also kicks off the match series through September. And we kick off our coverage this morning with an hour with the one and only Blue, Leon Blushewicz. And I can't thank you enough for coming up.
Well, there's one more thing.
Yeah.
We can't forget this. Billy Turner should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's true. You always talk about this.
I told Baffert that. Baffert told me this morning. It's a shame that he's not in the Hall of Fame. To win a Triple Crown, win a Triple Crown and not be in the Hall of Fame.
You've talked about this before.
I think it's – I mean, of all these trainers I see get in and all that, I don't begrudge them. But this guy really deserves, because without Seattle Slew, he gave us AP Indy, Pulpit, and Tappet. How
much great more can
for
you
the
do?
Business, how great can you be?
That's a great point.
To get
Blue.
That horse
it's a
out.
Tremendous point.
Yeah.
John Nichols says he can't wait to see you. He booked the house for the summer yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
He better come up with a winner because I'm a little short right now.
Not to worry.
They got me in a $5 window.
Unbelievable, Leon.
It's a pleasure, young man.
Oh, God, my God.
It's a pleasure.
People will, they're already talking about the visit. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was looking for you. Are you kidding?
Well, I wasn't going to stand out there by that steaks barn by stall 40 pouring down rain all morning. Terrible. There you go.
It's been a little bit of heaven.
Big time for us and for everybody that loves the game.
I love your show. I love your show.
Well, you make it. You're one of the...
I love to hear these guys tell the stories, you know,
well,
about breeding. You know, I've been into breeding for years. You know, I've done bred 4 grade 1 winners. I bred so many steak horses. Unreal. It's unreal. I've been fortunate. You know, I just love the game. You know, like some people, they worry about the game has been 24/7 with me for 50 years.
More.
I love the game. I hate to see people danger to the game.
Yep.
You know, do something to the game. This game is so great. It's unreal. You have people that come to this game. They'll come at the racetrack. They'll have such a good time that they're addicted. They'll be back again.
Like that.
I used to bring people, you know, I had 2 boxes out there every year, 16 people I brought to them. Can I go to the Preakness? Are you going to invite me? I said, you're down. You're down. They loved it.
Absolutely. I've done the same thing.
I mean, we'd bring a bag of ice, the drinks, crab cakes, shrimp salad sandwiches. Oh, we did it all. My God, it was
nice. Nothing like it. And there's nothing like a visit from Blue. Got to take the break here. It's the top of the hour, and we're going to put the rest of the show into the next 2 hours. Oh, I know you enjoyed it. I won't even say hope you did. We'll take a timeout here. We're live at Pimlico. Hi-ho.
Hi-ho, Pimlico. Yeah. Chick Lang. Chick Lang. We always got to remember him.
Blue. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Carter. He flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.